B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How devastating would it be for Arizona, Ray? Frank Saravelli, I think, wrote a piece today on Taylor Hall. They pick him up, then maybe if they keep diving, they got to move him?
Has that ever happened before where you
have a rental and then you have to flip the rental?
Yeah, but like a guy of that remember. Status.
I can't remember.
Not of that status.
No, but so let's say they decide in 10 days that, okay, yeah, they got to trade Hall, that they're not sure about where they are. So the assets that they gave up, can they recoup that in a deal? And I would say they can. I mean,
yes.
it's a bad luck, but, you know, because you're like, oh, you can't even get them to stay. But what if all of a sudden you decide, okay, we're not going to make it, so or we're going to be nip and tuck to make it. Why don't we trade them to Boston? Like, Boston's been looking for that second-line winger forever. Like, what if you can pull some of the... Like, that's a really good prospect pool. What if you can pull something out of there that makes what you gave up to get him in the first place not so significant?
Okay, so there's your Taylor Hall linkage that we were talking about. And what Arizona gave up to get him in December, was a first, a third, and then three prospects from the minor leagues, all players who had been drafted in the first three rounds over the last couple of years, but were not NHL players. So five total pieces. That was in December 19th. Now this is going to be February 19th or whatever, you know? So you won't have to give up the five pieces.
It costs less.
Three or four. You're going to have to give up a first.
Yep.
A first, a third, and then call it some combination of Jake Stanica, Oscar Steen. These are players down in Providence you've drafted high in the last couple of years. Did I say Trent Frederick? Vakanainen, the defenseman, maybe Lozon, maybe Heinen, you know, two, three of those pieces and a first-round pick. To me, that's a yes.
So, again, the price is good. I told you, it's not the deal I don't like. It's the player.
Okay, so that and everything else, as promised, here on Agenda Free Friday. On just a regular Thursday, Felger and Maz, or is it Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
On a Wednesday, I'll get this right, Felger and Maz from Banners. Jim in the car, go ahead.
Hey, guys, Taylor Hall, you have to make this move. This is terrific. Exactly what the Bruins needed. This is a... what was his name? Soderstrom last year that we had, but, you know, he is such a jump up on him.
Okay, not even close. Coyle and
Johansson
were your ads last year.
Soderstrom.
Wow. Taylor Hall is more talented than all of them. And again, if this were just an average year, just a year that they're another building year, building block kind of year, if this were two, 3 years ago, I'd say no. Well, I mean, what's the point? They're right there.
You're all in,
and this is really going to be the last kick at the can for Chara and Bergeron in the same year, and you've got a real chance, and you do have assets, you do have pieces, and opposed to hoarding them like Danny Ainge does in the Celtics, and hoarding all these first-round picks and high picks at the end of your bench and in Providence, use them and give yourself a real chance this year. And it's a chance. I mean, it's a risk. I'm not telling you that it's a no-risk kind of thing. But I would do it. For sure, I would do
it. I'd rather have someone like Josh Anderson at Columbus.
Angelo and Methuen on the Kevin Pillar. Go ahead, Angelo.
Yeah, Anthony. They're going to put Bradley in right field, right? Put Pillar in center, naturally.
So, no, I think that they're going to platoon in center, Angelo. I don't think it's going to be both of them in there at the same time.
And this guy,
yeah.
And
Pillar is going to be on the bench.
And the guy from the Dodgers is going to be in right.
I think so. I mean, that's my guess. There's a chance that they would move Benintendi over there and play Verdugo in left. Verdugo played left at Fenway Park when the Dodgers were in there earlier in the year.
Yep.
But Verdugo has the better arm. I think Benintendi moves better, but Verdugo has the better arm. So you really could go either way.
Well, what's going to happen to Bradley?
He'll stay in center field, Angelo.
Oh, good. Because he doesn't get a cannon for an arm.
Yeah, he just sucks
Bradley.
At the plate.
Yeah.
Okay, so does Pillar.
And my hope is it makes Bradley expendable at the trade deadline.
Yes.
Do you need... I wouldn't rule that out.
Do you need two of these guys?
No, you don't. But they're both flawed. In other words, Bradley can hit against righties. Pilar can hit against lefties. You put the two of them together, maybe actually get a half-decent player. That's the logic anyway. So you're trying to fill in the gaps around them. All their outfielders are left-handed hitting now.
Yeah.
So they needed a righty outfielder, a right-handed hitting outfielder off the bench.
John in East Bridgewater on Brady. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. You know, I think it's so overblown that Brady's leaving, and here's why. One, he doesn't want to do OTA. So if he goes to a new team, he's got a new offense. A new offensive coordinator who doesn't run the Brady offense. So if he's going to run his offense, he has to be there to install it. Number two, anywhere he goes where he's going to pick up talent, he's going to lose it in coaching because he's not going to have Belichick and McDaniels. And thirdly, the reason why they're putting this off, this negotiation, is because with this new CBA, there could potentially, which could be done before the next league year, there could be a lot more salary cap space for them to sign him and weapons.
John, they already know that.
But when push comes to shove, he's not going to want to do all the things that it's going to take for him to leave town.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out about that. And you say he won't want to leave Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels? Maybe that's specifically what he wants to do. Okay, you don't know that.
If he does leave, I think that's one of the main reasons.
Okay, so right. Maybe that's a reason to leave, not to stay. You know, he's gone hot and cold with Bill the last couple of years. In terms of the CBA, they all know the salary caps are going up. Whether it goes up $20 million, $15 million, $25 million, whether it goes up 20%, 22%, 24%, they know it's going up. They don't have the exact number, but they know there's going to be more room. So,
it's not about the cap.
Okay, strike that one off your list, too. Now, the thing about installing a new offense, like, I believe that. I think, you know, that's a real factor.
Big transition.
If Brady goes to John Gruden or McCarthy, he's running a West Coast offense with different terminology, a different playbook, starting all over. Either the coach is starting all over for Brady or Brady's starting all over for the coach. I agree. That's like a big factor to consider. No question about it. But Zoe thinks the New York Giants are now in play. The New York Giants head coach, Joe Judge, formerly on the Patriots. Their quarterback coach or offensive coordinator, what is Shaplinski?
He's the quarterback's coach.
So the quarterback coach was the former Patriots quarterback coach that Brady worked under in Shaplinski.
The OC is Jason Garrett.
Now, unfortunately, the offensive coordinator is Jason Garrett, a boob's boob. But what offense does he run? Does it have roots in the Patriots system?
I don't know.
I mean, and so it's not that West Coast thing.
Well, the Miami offense would be familiar with Chan Gailey there, right?
So apparently that does have roots in the Patriots system as well.
So I'll tell you, I'm not disputing that a new offense would be a significant hurdle. Okay, I'm not telling you it's not. But with the way it looked here last year, outside of Edelman, don't they have to dumb it down here anyway?
Yes, yes.
So they're going to have to make a modification here, and let's say they bring in a new tight end or whatever it is, it's going to be a work in progress here again. Because what we saw at the end of the year sucked. It wasn't good. With the exception of that one game against Buffalo, the rest of it wasn't good. So, like, I feel like they have to make some modifications here as it is.
Still, there would be some familiarity there, I would think, with Judge and Shaplinski. Haven't worked with them before. But, boy, the rest of those boobs in that room. It's Garrett. It's Freddie Kittens. Like, if I'm Brady, I walk into that room and I turn right back around.
Murray, all I'm saying is, no matter where Brady is at this stage of his career.
Oh, he's going to have to, yeah.
He's got to come back to the pack a little bit.
Yes, for sure.
He's got to come back to the, because nobody has his experience and knowledge. Nobody does. So he's going to have to dumb it down some.
Scott and Southie on the Bees. Hi, Scott.
Hey, I love the show.
Scott, if you were the heavyweight champion of the world, I'd leave you on. But I just can't. Call us back. Get to a better area. Hold it like a pizza. 617-779-0985. Michael and Melrose, your thoughts.
A million times no on Taylor Hall. You kidding me? You're going to give up Stanika or Frederick and any of your prospects for this kid? This kid is absolutely cancer. The problem with the Bruins is Tuukka Rask. You can make it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. You're never, ever, ever going to win with a European goalie. Belga, you said it last year. You're 1,000,000% right.
I didn't say that.
Three European goalies. You said Russians, whatever. Three European goalies. Number one, the Stanley Cup in a starting position.
The Russians scare me. That's true.
Poland, yep. And Antti Niemi are the only three to ever do it. That's not your problem. Your second-line winger is not a problem.
Oh, it's a problem.
It's a problem. You got to be high.
Hey, Michael, you know what? I'm willing to say something right now. Murray, you listen up, too. If Rask gets in that spot again, he's going to win it. He's going to win the next Game 7 for the Cup. If he gets there. I don't know if he gets there. I don't know if you get past Tampa. With your current roster, I don't know if you get past Tampa. And then Washington, I don't know. If you get Taylor Hall, you give yourself a better chance.
That'll be the easiest money I'll ever make in my life.
Next time he's in that spot, Murray?
Yeah.
He's going to win it.
Okay.
There you go. How do you like that?
Yeah, all right.
I mean, if the goaltending is going to fail you, then there's no, I don't know if there's a deal you can make that's going to.
There's not even worth discussing anything.
Right. Like, the goaltending's going to undermine you. You're porked either way.
He'll help you get on a deep run. We saw that last year. When push comes to shove and you really need it at home with a cup and you were building game seven, he's going to crap his pants.
I'm
never going to trust him again.
I like Josh Anderson as a winger, and you live and die with Tuukka.
This time he's going to win it. But I think you got a lot of fish to fry before we get to that point. Jay and Braintree. Go ahead, Jay, on Tom Brady.
Hey, what's up, man? How do you guys really feel that Tom Brady's leaving?
Because he's a free agent, and he's, what, about a month from taking free agent visits, and he hasn't signed a contract, and I don't know, what makes you think he's staying?
Why wouldn't he stay? Look, he's with the best franchise that's ever been around.
Then how come he hasn't re-signed, Jay?
Why would you re-sign before you hear what everybody else says?
Because so then it's about the money.
It's really not about the money. He wants to know what he's worth.
Okay, so then, but I mean, you don't think they have an idea about that right now? He has to go to the market first?
He knows what he's worth.
To know that he's worth $30 million a year?
He's probably worth $40 million or $50 million a year.
Exactly. So then why has the team paid him, and why is he taking it? Why are we even bothering with this?
Well, because he wants to talk about, you know, what everybody else wants him for. He wants to feel like he's appreciated.
I see. So he just wants the fake hoopla, but he's going nowhere.
So he just wants to use everybody else for the love and then go back to Belichick, who will never show him the love.
Because that's what Brady's done his whole career.
Yeah,
he's just gone on senseless PR goose chases just because he wants to make himself feel better.
Well, I would say that. No.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
The caller's saying he just wants to feel the love. So he's making up. He's just making up out of whole cloth and faking the point that he might go somewhere else just so he can be talked about on ESPN and Felger and Maz as being a free agent because he needs to feel that adulation. That's what the caller's saying.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
Thank you. It's stupid.
Yeah.
He's.
But if he comes back here on a one-year deal, then why did he do all this?
Of course he might come back. But if you don't think it's a real, real strong possibility that he's gone, then I can't help you.
I mean,
it's a month away, and they haven't even talked contract yet. It's a month away, and Bill hasn't even called him yet and put a number in front of him. So, I don't know. You tell me.
So, look, I think he's gone. I told you that. You don't get to this point and then all of a sudden go back. I think the thing is over. But I also think that there's a chance that Brady could cave. In which case, and I'm not telling you I totally agree with what the caller's saying, but maybe there is part of him that doesn't know yet that he can't leave. Like, I wouldn't rule that out.
Like, what do you mean?
I'm meaning that he goes to market, someone makes him an offer, and then he doesn't have the balls to pull the trigger and go.
Very likely.
Yeah, I think that
is... very possible, anyway.
I think that is totally possible, in which case you come back to the question of, then why go through all this? And it's because he's, who knows? I mean, he's a little whacked.
No.
He's got a show to put out.
No.
That's the other thing, too.
He wants it now. He's sick of the team. He wants to see what's out there. He wants to go on the tour. He wants to be paid what he's worth. He wants to be surrounded by good talent. He wants to see what's out there. He wants that in his heart right now. Then the offer's on the table from the L.A. Chargers, and he's got to sign it. Does he have the balls to sign it?
Well, right.
There's nothing fake about this. Sorry.
No, I'm not telling you it's fake.
And
that's not what I'm saying.
And there's nothing whacked about it.
I'm saying that there is some need that he has that has to be met in this thing. And, you know.
He wants to go to a different team. There's no need to be met here.
What if he comes back on a one-year deal?
Because he was chicken at the end. He chickened out at the end. But he's doing this because he wants to see if he wants to go to another team.
Yeah.
You're sort of implying he needs this for his ego or something, right?
No, I'm just saying it's not. I don't think that that's it. I think he's leaving. I told you.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah. But what the caller is saying, I've seen people threaten to leave and then come back on a lesser deal. I've seen people do that. And I do wonder what twisted little things go on in their head that could ultimately lead them to that point.
There are people who are convinced Brady's going to the market. Convinced, including a former teammate. You'll hear that sound right after these words.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What do you think Tom Brady will do? This is up to him.
I think he's going to see what's out there for himself. As a matter of fact, I know he will. But I don't think he's going to have to wait till March 16th because you've got agents, you've got talk going behind the scenes, and I think he has an idea on the teams that are highly interested in him. Mm-hmm. He's earned the right to do that, Sage. Sure. I mean, 20 years with the same team. I spent 13 years with the Patriots and still got to be a free agent once. Trip to Green Bay, Seattle, Cleveland. It's fun to do it. But then you go back to New England. So he will explore his options, and he has the right to do so.
The gut right now across the league, it sounds like most people believe he will come back. Again, we shall see.
Well, because after all this comes around, I think what he'll think is, where do I have the best opportunity to win?
To win.
To win. Exactly. And I think that's what's important to him right now. And for me, you're going to win in New England.
So that's Ted Bruschi saying he knows Tom Brady's going to go out and take visits. He knows that. And is that what's best for the team? And these conflicting signals from the Patriots on it, in terms of the timing, to me, caught up to me today. Something doesn't add up. Because on one hand, Robert Kraft has said on the record, and off, but on the record for sure, that he wants Tom Brady to go to free agency. He's earned the right. He gave him the right. And it's all fine, you know, like that's the right thing for the Patriots to do. He's glad Tom Brady got to do it, and et cetera. Robert Kraft said the day the season ended to Peter King, it was very important to Tom that he be free to do whatever he wanted at the end of the year. You know what I said to myself? That any person who plays 20 years for this team and helps us get to 9 Super Bowls and has been really selfless has earned that right. I love the young man like he's part of my family, blood family. Anyone who's done that has earned the right to control his future after 20 years. So Robert Kraft says, full blessing, we want you to go to free agency. Furthermore, Ian Rappaport said, and again, I think Ian Rappaport has ownership sources, he reported on Monday that, again, Robert Kraft wants Tom Brady to go to free agency. In fact, Robert Kraft thinks that that's best for everybody, even in terms of Brady coming back, because then Brady will see what's out there. If he does choose to come to New England, it's with a full understanding of what else is out there, with an open heart and a clear conscience, and he knows exactly what he could be leaving on the table to come back to New England, and that's important for Brady to go through that process. Okay? That's on the one hand. On the other, Mike Reese writes today, and Kieran Garesian writes today, and Adam Schefter said a couple weeks ago that no. Owner Robert Kraft and Coach Bill Belichick are expected to push for substantial discussions before that point. So what is it? Mike Reese says, simply put, the Patriots will want clarity about Brady's intentions and willingness to return as they enter free agency, as that will be the first major domino to fall in the team's planning.
So does he have the right to go to market or not?
Well, if they want certainty, and he's the first major domino to fall, and as Reese said, they're going to want to push for substantial discussions before that point, then how does it make sense to let him go to free agency?
It doesn't.
So which is it?
Yeah, it's more likely the second thing, meaning that they want an answer before March 16th.
Of course it is.
Because the first comment is completely just pandering to the masses.
Is Kraft blowing smoke and pandering to Brady?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he totally is. Again, he's blowing smoke up Brady's skirt, and he wants to make it look like, you know, that Tom Brady actually has power and all, you know, all this stuff, when the reality is they were probably happy to give him the franchise tag because they weren't going to pay him the $35 million anyway, which, again, we sort of connected the dots earlier today, and then I thought about it and said, well, wait a minute. Rappaport said they'd be willing to extend themselves to more than $30 million a year during the Super Bowl week. That's what he said. During Super Bowl week, that the Patriots would be willing to go to that number. Well, if that were true, why didn't they just keep the franchise tag? I mean, it just doesn't add up. The comment to King is just publicly trying to acknowledge that that Brady has done a lot for the franchise and he's earned the right. He's playing a game. That's what that is. That's a game.
So, of course, the Patriots want some certainty beforehand. Of course, the Patriots want to know and have a full idea of the landscape well before March 16th. Of course they do. Okay? So if that's the case, here's the last piece of my Brady thought today, and that is, then why don't you call him and make an offer? Because according to multiple people, Mike Reese, Karen Garigian, Tom Curran, others, no financials have been discussed. They haven't started negotiating. In fact, Karen Garigian writes that while Brady and the team have talked, as Brady mentioned to Jim Gray during that Super Bowl interview, while they've talked, there have been no substantive contract talks. And why? Asked Karen. Bill Belichick has yet to make his feelings known on the subject. He has not rubber-stamped in excess of $30 million for the quarterback, as was reported. Numbers have not been discussed with the head coach. As of the beginning of this week, Brady hadn't even heard from the coach to get an idea what he might be thinking. Belichick has yet to reach out. That's what the Herald has been told. So I would say to the Patriots and Bill, if you really want an early answer, if you really want some certainty, why don't you call him and give him an offer? So this is like, talk about wanting it both ways on all fronts. We want an early answer. We need to know soon. Yeah, but we're not going to give you an offer. We just want to know what you're thinking. What?
Yeah, they're not.
What's the offer? And on one hand, Robert Kraft says he should go to free agency. He's earned the right. He's like my son. He's put in so much time. And hey, you go to free agency, Tom, you'll see what's out there. It's best for everybody. But then on the other hand, say, no, we want an early answer. We want some certainty. None of it's consistent.
No, it's not. Again, but the one that really is inconsistent more than anything is Kraft's comment that Brady's earned the right. I mean, come on.
It's just him trying to, you know, come off as best as possible because he's doing Tom a solid.
Yeah, the benevolent patriarch.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
The benevolent patriarch, which is, again, which he may very well be.
I mean, he is, but Kraft certainly always wants to position himself as the good guy.
Yeah, so now to answer your question, why haven't they made him an offer yet? And I understand you're saying that ultimately you're saying they're being inconsistent, and they are.
Yeah, well, I mean, start negotiations if you want an answer from the guy.
Correct. But if you're the Patriots, what's the best way to negotiate? With Brady. Wait until A, you have leverage, which means you have another quarterback lined up, so maybe it's a deal with the Cincinnati Bengals or whoever, or wait until there's less time and then Brady's under pressure to make a decision. If you go to him now, well, Brady's still got a month. Yeah, I'll let you know in a week. You know, but if you go to him on March 6th or March 10th, Tom, we got 5 days. This has been going on for 2 years. Here's what we're offering, yes or no. And, you know, you got 3 days to think about it. And then Brady's going to have to make a decision. If you don't accept, the Patriots are going to have to set a deadline here is what I'm saying. If they really want an answer from him,
right?
They got to set a deadline, and they shouldn't start negotiating until they're close to that deadline put the heat on Brady.
Well, that's threading the needle. Meanwhile, is one of the reasons people are sure he's going to free agency, is it because maybe Tom Brady's already contracted a reality show about it? Peter King mentioned this earlier. We played you the sound. I don't have to play it again. But Peter King, talking to Mike Florio, said yesterday he wonders if Brady goes to free agency and gives us Tom versus Time Part 2 by Deepak Chopra on Facebook Live or whatever the hell. Or, as an emailer said to Murray, what about Hulu? Brady's now in bed with Hulu.
Right, you put it on there.
And so the Tom versus Time was really well done. It gave us real insight at a key time, you know, in a year where Brady was questioning his loyalty to the Patriots in a Super Bowl year. And it was a great, I mean, I'm not being sarcastic, that was a great production that I think gave us genuine insight and did really well for him and the producers. What if Tom Brady has already contracted to film the reality show aspect of the free agency process, and he's already contracted Deepak Chopra, or he's already got a deal with Facebook, or he's already got a deal with Hulu, and the people who are saying he's going on a free agent tour know it, and that's why he's going on that's why they're sure of it, because he's under contract to do it.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. And when Murray raised it, I love the Hulu idea. I mean, think about it.
I mean, why?
Hey, I'll do a commercial for you in the Super Bowl. You carry my thing. We'll figure out the money. You know, let's nail it down. and then you'll have instant programming with me right out of the gate.
I mean, that one just kind of came out of nowhere. And granted, the easy thing you could say is, well, he's just taking the money. It's a commercial. Of who's going to say no to that? But typically, anything that he's done an endorsement for, he's connected to. The automobile, was it Aston Martin, Under Armour? You know, he's the pitch man for that. He's connected to it. He uses those products.
Yeah.
Hulu? Like, this kind of came out of nowhere, I feel like.
So add that to the list. There's your Brady reset. I promise. Right back to your phones on everything right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
At Scott Zolak tweeted out yesterday afternoon, NYG, all caps, at 4:20 p.m. yesterday afternoon. That was all you tweeted. What does that mean?
I got off the phone with a person that I know, not from the Brady side.
Person that I know.
Not from the Brady side, but very connected. And I was like, I did that M sculpt thing. So I got on the phone as soon as I got out of there. And I'm talking to this person, and I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on? Give me some updates. What do we got here? And I was like, well, just be careful. Just don't fall asleep on that one team. And I'm like, yeah, I know what team, Tennessee. And they're like, What? Tennessee? And I said, Dallas, not Dallas. No. So Dallas is out. Dallas is out. It's NYG, New York Giants. I said, what?
So that's it. That was sourced. And if you listen to the Felger and Maz Brady Watch Manifesto yesterday, that's good enough for us. Zoe talked to a guy who said, don't forget about the New York Giants. Makes perfect sense to me. It does. Maybe not perfect sense, but mostly sense. That would be a landing spot for him. I get that. Okay, to your calls on everything, as promised. Mike in Nashua on Brady to the Giants. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I get that it makes sense for Giselle and for TB12, but from a football perspective, it makes no sense. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, and I don't hate the idea of Brady being the quarterback, but what did it screw up Daniel Jones? I mean, the kid, he played pretty well. He coughed up the ball too much, but he didn't suck.
Yeah, well, I mean, how would it screw it up?
So I don't want him at the end of the day. Go.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. I'm just going to cut you off. It's amazing how many Giants fans I've heard from who don't want him.
Well, there is the school of thought. Whether you believe it or not is a different story, but then you're better off playing a young guy, let him make his mistakes, and then he'll be better off.
Yeah, he's still shiny and new, and he's not wrong. A kid turned over the ball way too much.
Mostly in fumbles.
No, but
I think he'd be better served if you had Brady there. He's re-energized. You have decent weapons there. The offensive line sort of sucks, but good wide receivers, maybe the best back in the league. And you put this kid behind him, and he mentors him, or puts him in the TB12 program, he'll be better served long-term, Daniel Jones, if he works under Brady.
Totally.
Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo, sorry, Brady, Jimmy, but, like, I mean, I think there's a track record of a lot of guys that apprenticed. Pat Mahomes sat for a year.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, I actually prefer that model versus playing the young guy. So I don't think that would screw up Daniel Jones. That might reset Daniel Jones and help him out. Joe in the car has a Red Sox thought. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Big fan of the show. Is there any news or interest, Maz, on bringing Buckholz back? Like, isn't this a year where they really need some likability and a guy?
Ooh, I'm sorry. Let me just stop you there. Go.
No, thanks.
No and no.
Likeability, you utility guy?
Brock Holt is going to increase the popularity and draw of the Red Sox?
Please.
If that's the case, then you are in a scary place.
Yeah, the last time that happened, he went to the All-Star game and they sucked.
I mean,
no thanks.
Would you please? Teddy in Winchester on the B's. Go ahead, Teddy.
Hey, good afternoon. First time call, last time, first time listener, long time listener. Hey, Maz, as far as the Bruins with Taylor Hall, you know what? That trade makes sense. If they can unload like David Backus or out of that $9 or $10 million on the ninth floor. So if they can flip one of those guys and pick up Taylor Hall, and it gives them a little bit of leverage going forward for who might be a free agent, that's a home run.
I'll tell you what, it's not a money issue. And I didn't even bother to ask, but the reports out of St. Louis that there may be a way to dump Backes on the Blues and get rid of some of that money. That the Backes money is the Backes money. You're stuck with that. That contract killed you. It's just Taylor Hall doesn't feel like it's, you know, I'm not sure what Taylor Hall makes, but it's only for the last 2 months of the year, so it's prorated. It won't be a big money thing coming back. The give is prospects, is a first-round pick and young players that you were hoping for in the future, and you're sacrificing that for a Stanley Cup run. And I think it's worth it.
Yeah, again, to me, it's not the cost I'm worried about. The cost would be good. For the talent, the cost is good. It's the player and his reputation I don't like.
If he wasn't a flaming asshat.
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, so I'm actually one of the rare guys that actually liked the trade the Red Sox got for Mookie Betts. I'm actually disgusted, but I'm willing to defend Jackie Bradley Jr. because I actually have a realistic season expectation for him if he's able to do that. Besides the trade aspect of it, I don't think the Sox obviously got any better. They definitely couldn't get any worse either. But if Jackie Bradley, if you just realistically like stop playing wiffle ball or whatever you're doing and just hit at least 260, 15 homers, 70 RBIs, can we come Gold Gloves? Can we come to a consensus that that would be acceptable for Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Sure, 260. He's a 225 career hitter,
yeah,
right?
238 or something.
I'm sorry, 238.
Yeah, good luck with the 260. If he hit 260, he'd be an all-star,
right?
For crying out loud, or something close to it. And I'm exaggerating, but look, the Bradley is what he is. Are we still doing this? Are we still doing this about Jackie Bradley? This is it. He's got 1 year left, and then he's out of here. He's gone. It's over. Unless there's no market for him, and he comes back crawling at $5 million, in which case they'll do it. But he's an end-of-the-lineup defensive player. That's what he is. And they're going to platoon him against lefties because he sucks against lefties. Boom.
I think they should trade him right now and just go with Pilar at $3 million or whatever he is versus Jackie Bradley's $11 million. You have great fielding, light-hitting outfielder. It's the same guy. Mike and Woburn on the Bees. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mikey. I'm very proud of you being able to dovetail firing code talk into masturbation talk. I think that is right on message for you. You're very tank addicted to that one. Remember the biggest reason why people were mad about not firing code?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, no.
Okay. Who's the best prospect in the Bruins' current system right now?
McAvoy?
Jack Stanika?
Okay, you mean down in Providence. Okay, fine. Stanika.
Yes. Okay. Why did they have Jack Stanika?
Mike, I'm not sure. Just what's your point?
Yeah, get to it.
Okay, because they fired the GM and there was compensation for firing executives at the time. If they blew out Claude when they blew out the GM, you would have gotten a second-round pick for the guy. But they kept him around just to be a sacrificial lamb because they knew the team wouldn't compete. That's why people were upset, Mike. That's why people like me were upset.
You're so wrong.
Because they kept the guy for... Why is it wrong?
To be honest with you, no one has any idea what you're talking about. Mike... 90%, 95% of the people have no idea what you're talking about.
More.
I know I don't.
Compensation for GMs, compensation for coaches. I mean, he's right. I sort of remember something like that.
Never would have crossed my mind if he didn't bring it up.
99 people out of 100 have no earthly idea what you're talking about. No. People liked Claude.
Yeah, people thought Claude was being treated unfairly.
Yeah.
That's what
yes,
it was.
And people that thought that Claude... No, and I'm not even talking about people. Most fans used their eyes and said the team isn't responding. Every other night is some sort of wet fart performance. They had gone two straight years out of the playoffs. It wasn't that hard to figure out. Claude had lost the team. They'd stopped playing for Claude. It had stopped working. It worked for a while with him, obviously. They won a freaking cup and then a President's Trophy 2 years later, but we were then 2 years out of the playoffs. It was going to be their third straight year out of the playoffs. Every second, third night was some sort of wet fart, no-show performance. It was obvious. The only thing it wasn't obvious to were the Bruins' Bobo writers.
And how'd you feel about their style of play?
And it was dreadful to watch. And it didn't promote offense or speed. It didn't help the young players at the time. Like, it was just time. It was obvious. No one had any idea about compensation. No one cared about compensation. Except for you.
He didn't use their talent right either. I think we can look at that now and say that for sure. Look at what they've become under Cassidy. Do you think Pastrnak or Krug are what they are under Claude?
Not quite. You know, I mean, maybe they're... And Claude did a good job developing young players like Bergeron and Krejci. Now, those are more rounded, sort of defensive minds. So I'm not telling you Claude was a disaster with young guys.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
But he lost his touch with this group. I mean, they stopped developing young players under him.
The league changed.
That's
the
right.
The league got more open.
That's right.
And so, the Bruins just couldn't... They couldn't generate enough offense.
No, the fans were fine with it. The fans got it. It was the media. The Bruins media.
Who do you want to be coached then? Who should be there? Who could do a better job? Who's better that's out there?
I remember saying at the time, I don't know, who's in Providence?
Nah, it turns out that was the guy. There you go. Cam in the car on Taylor Hall. Go ahead, Cam.
Yeah, Maz, you are an absolute clown, and this just shows your limited hockey knowledge for you to say that you want Josh Anderson, who has one goal in 27 games played, over Taylor Hall. Josh Anderson has two bum left shoulders, the left coming from Charlie McAvoy in the playoffs, and the right in December. That's all I got.
And Taylor Hall has a bum heart. And he's going to cost you double what Josh Anderson would. So, again, you're looking at it. Wow, there's a blazing take. Let me put my stock in the guy who was the number one pick in the draft. We all know he can play, you donkey. Like, that part of it. And the other thing, he's missed games this year. He's a 25-goal scorer. He's still 24 years old.
What did Anderson have 2 years ago?
27 last year.
27 go to last year.
And puts him 4 years younger than Hall. And take a good look at Hall's numbers. Outside of the 1 year that he scored the 39 goals, Anderson's goal totals are comparable. So shove it, Bowman.
trying to blow you there, Miz.
Suck on that,
asshat.
Scott and Southie. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, you got me in a clear landline now.
Yeah, you do. You sound good.
Great. Hey, so you guys touching on the tie level. So quick question. I'm going to change my switch it around a bit since the last call I kind of had mine. So you obviously don't think dumping back as a salary sounds like it would probably be more of a play for Arizona for Hall would be a big factor. So in that case, don't you think Kreider and Toffoli would be a better fit for the Bees? And the statement I had is, hey, on your rant about Thornton on Monday, where was that emphatic desire you have about Thornton's backstory to win a cup with Backus last year to win against his former team? And Benz, last thing real quick. Shame on you for knocking the bean pot this week.
Yeah, shame on you.
Shame, man.
And we're like a badge of honor.
Shame on you.
You can take the bean pot and
shame
it
on you. It's a good product.
Oh, yeah, no, that's great.
It was a good watch.
Yeah.
How would you know if you don't watch it?
No, that's right.
It was a good watch.
No, that's right. I got better things to do than watch college hockey with BU in it. BU in Northeastern and BC.
Not on off the.
Four-team tournament.
Pass out in your lazy boy like Archie Bunker.
I'm not dumping on BU really as much as I am the tournament itself. You show up, you're in the semis. That's cute. Really. Just show up. You're in the semis. You win one game, you guaranteed the bronze.
George, go ahead. Give it to Maz.
So, sorry, the silver.
George, go ahead.
So this one's still for Maz about the bean pot. The four-team thing, I understand what you're saying there, but you got to think about it. The four teams, these guys circle this game at the beginning of the year every year because they hate those three other teams. They go out there, each and every one of them plays their heart out. Half the roster is from Massachusetts. The other half is from New Hampshire or Connecticut. These guys look at this game as the game of their life. If you don't like that at the Garden, you don't like hockey. Double overtime. I mean, come on, Maz.
If you don't like that, you're less of a human.
No, I am. I am less of a human being. I mean, that goes without saying. Silly me.
Bad guy, too.
Call me the traditional
bad person.
Conventional Bostonian. I like actually sports played at the highest level, the absolute highest level, which is the pro game. And so, I'm sorry you're offended by that, but I'm not going to, like, go out of my way to go watch a Northeastern hockey game. Sorry. I don't give a rat's ass what they're ranked.
I am offended. Thus concludes, unfortunately, or fortunately, the call-in portion of the program. We'll do the final word right after these words from our sponsors.
Bean Pod.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
All right, one piece of sound to get to here in the final word. A rare guest appearance.
I know what this is.
Rare Jesus. Guest appearance on the phone today on this show. Wasn't a good phone, but it was good content. This was Tyson Fury. Was he calling in from across the pond? Maybe Vegas? Who even knows?
I hope so.
We'll be fighting Deontay Wilder a week from Saturday night. And how is he training? Taking care of himself 7 times a day.
How are you preparing for this fight? And we were just reading a transcript from a previous interview where you said that you are, pleasuring yourself. You're masturbating 7 times a day leading up to this fight. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Watching myself silly on a daily basis. 7 times a day.
Okay, so I'd always heard that, you know, you lose your legs when you do that.
Right, weakens the legs.
I've not had any sex in 10 weeks, but I have been masturbating on a regular basis. So, but there is nothing like the real thing, is there? That's for sure.
So there's a difference. So you're saying actual intercourse would weaken the legs, but masturbation doesn't.
Yeah.
How is that? Was that
who did that study?
What is that? Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Down involved in masturbation, and I don't usually jump off a sideboard to cover something in masturbation. So yeah, the way that I have always been taught to do sex, very athletic way, but it takes a lot of energy out of you.
But masturbation does. So the reason you're doing it 7 times a day is because you haven't had sex in 10 weeks.
The reason I'm doing it 7 times a day is to keep my testosterone high and keep me wanting more. They say the more sex you have, the more you want, and I find this to be true.
Good luck in the fight. So again, 7 times a day. I mean, what number are we on so far? Like how much longer do we have to go today?
I am on 6 already, so today I'm going to try to do 10 more.
Okay.
Good luck.
Good luck for it. Good luck on the last one, and good luck on Saturday, Tyson. Thanks for calling us. We appreciate it.
Or listening to him take care of number 7 there.
I guess that'd be my guess. That's sort of how I read it. Yeah. I don't know what else that could be.
Give myself a proper rogering before every fight. 7 times a day.
Keep going, Murray. Come on. Keep me testosterone high.
All I got to do is spit in me hand. Give myself what I need to get ready for this fight.
So, masturbation doesn't weaken the legs.
I don't know if I believe
does.
That.
Well, so the way he said it is that I think this is what he said, because the connection obviously wasn't great. He said that the way he was taught to have sex requires a lot of energy.
No, he said, I thought he said, I've been taught to have sex athletically.
Yeah, it requires a lot of energy.
Yeah, is that what he said? A lot of energy? But I mean, energy and
testosterone up.
We're still getting to the same spot, really. I mean,
one's a little more of a sprint.
When people call me a wanker, they mean it in a literal sense.
So it's got to have something to do with, like, the foreplay and the buildup that just bears you down, I guess. It's like a, you know.
I just wish the phone was better. But anyway, there's your masturbation talk.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.